Welcome to Watchmen on the Wall, a daily outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries and SWRC.com. God is still on the throne, and prayer changes things. Welcome to a brand new week of bringing clarity to the chaos. This week, we share how you can reach prisoners with the gospel, the latest headlines from the end times, and an inside look at the latest research about the crucifixion of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you to everyone who came out this past weekend to our Prophecy in the News Live conference in Bristol, Virginia. Great crowd, excellent presentations, and wonderful fellowship. Check the events section of our website for the 2026 dates of upcoming conferences. It's all there at swrc.com. Faithful friends, it's our effort to have 500 monthly supporters join the work here at Southwest Radio Ministries, and it's underway. I'm excited to report that we have individuals and families committing to support SWRC and Watchmen on the Wall on a monthly basis. Will you join these faithful friends with your monthly gift? Visit swrc.com and click on Donate Now, or simply call 800-652-1144. Please, friends, be one of the faithful 500. Your recurring monthly gift helps us continue this kingdom-sized mission every single day. Today is a special day here at Watchmen on the Wall as we reveal this year's calendar that will support our Onesimus prison ministry. With the exciting details, here's Josh Davis and Micah Van Hus.
Friends, we're excited to tell you that the 2026 calendar is available for preview. This is a special outreach of Southwest Radio Ministries every single year, and I'm privileged to be joined in studio by the one who created the artwork for each of these images, and we're going to be telling you more about that. But let me just say up front that this calendar is a big help to our Onesimus Prisoner Outreach Ministry. And we have that ministry that goes on. You may have heard us talk about that here on Watchmen on the Wall. For every calendar that you purchase, you enable us to send two calendars to inmates who request those free of charge. And by the way, we are already receiving written requests from inmates all across America who get our annual calendar, and they're ready to line up to receive this 2026 calendar. And we are excited to tell you a lot of great details about this particular calendar over the course of today and tomorrow's program, and letting you know that this is a ministry tool. The message of the gospel, the message of hope, is included in every single calendar. And we'll be sharing more about that over the course of the next couple of days. But before we get too far along, I want to welcome in Micah Van Hus. He's the director of our Marginal Mysteries Division. Micah, thank you so much for joining us.
Josh, it's good to be here with you today talking about the calendar.
And you are the designer, and your artwork around our ministry is legendary with the Marginal Mysteries things. All your books, your conference presentations, and all those kinds of things. Just very talented, very skilled. And so this is a different take on the calendar in some respects, because it's a Marginal Mysteries themed calendar for this year.
So at Marginal Mysteries, we talk about the mysteries of God's universe from a biblical perspective. And that's important because people talk about all kinds of weird conspiracy theories. We talk about conspiracy theories, but they don't back it up with scripture. And that's what we strive to do here at Marginal Mysteries. We keep an open mind, but never outside the bounds of scripture. So over the last few years, you know, we've written a couple of books, and I just love studying the mysteries with a biblical foundation.
Yes, yes. And so we've got some beautiful artwork that'll be lead to this exciting calendar. And friends, you'll want to check it out. You can visit swrc.com. Again, that's swrc.com to see some of these images and also to go ahead and pre-order this calendar. It'll be shipping out very soon. And the printing is underway as we speak, and we are excited to be shipping these out very soon. It's available for pre-order right now at swrc.com. Also, you can give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That toll-free number again is 1-800-652-1144. Micah, over the course of today and tomorrow's programs, let's just walk through some of the images that you have and that you've put together. And maybe you have a general theme for this whole calendar, And we know that there is a wonderful name to this calendar. It's called Beyond the Veil, and we'll be sharing some more information about that. But one of the particular images you have, we're going to jump around. We're not going to go January through December, but for November's image, you have some archangels, and it depicts this archangel descending into Sheol. Can you describe that image for us a little bit?
Absolutely. So this is the November calendar image, and it is Michael the Archangel descending into Sheol to bind the fallen angels. This is the cover of my latest book, Angels Eternal, where we talk about the angelic realm from a biblical perspective. The study of angels was fascinating for me. It drew me a lot closer to God when you start to study these beings. Unfortunately, our culture has kind of dumbed down the idea of angels, turned them into Christmas ornaments and chubby little babies.
Yes.
But actually, angels are quite terrifying.
Mm.
The first words out of their mouth, almost always in Scripture, is fear not.
Yes.
Well, there's a reason they say that. Mm-hmm. So angels are terrifying to behold. They are messengers of God. They carry out God's judgment. They minister to mankind. So God uses angels in the unseen realm on the other side of the veil. That's why we title the calendar The Veil, because the veil is what separates the spiritual from the physical realms. So that's the cover of my new book, Angels Eternal. Had a ton of fun writing it. Enjoy the study.
Mm-hmm. Now, you take a lot of great detail with the artwork to make sure it's biblically accurate, and there's just so much that are in these images, and it's not just one passing glance and you're done. I know you take a lot of pains into getting it just right and to making sure it's biblically accurate and that it's actually conveying the message that's there.
So biblically accurate, that is a loose term, because there's a lot that we just don't know.
Well, that's true.
And so when you have to put these things down on paper, you kind of have to use your imagination for a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I do believe God has called me to do this. And when God calls someone to do something, he prepares them for it.
Yes.
And so I played video games back when I was a kid, and well, I still play video games now, but the video games I played kind of gave me these visions of what these things look like, very fantasy, very high fantasy, maybe Lord of the Rings style or things like that. So biblically based as much as I can, but Scripture does not give us a lot of detail about some of these things. So yes, definitely some artistic interpretation.
So the next image we want to talk about, we'll jump from November to July, and that image depicts what it looks like Jesus on a red horse, and he's in this forest, and it's dark, it's close to nighttime. Can you tell us a little bit about what is this image conveying?
So this is the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament, and that's a topic we study in my latest book. In the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, he appears numerous times, and the calendar image with Jesus on the red horse in the myrtle trees comes from Zechariah chapter 1. It is a fascinating passage of Scripture where angels, these are the watcher class angels. The watcher angel does not necessarily mean a bad angel. Some of them were bad in Genesis 6.
Mm-hmm.
But the watchers are a type of angel. And in Zechariah chapter 1, the angels are walking to and fro throughout the earth, and they are coming to the angel of the Lord in the myrtle trees and giving him a report of the earth. These are the watchers watching the earth. The reason I believe that the angel of the Lord in the Old Testament is Jesus is because this is the only angel that accepts worship. Angels,
right.
Good angels, do not accept worship,
right.
But the angel of the Lord does. So I do think this is Jesus. That doesn't necessarily mean that every time we hear an angel of the Lord that it is Jesus, but I think the majority of the time in the King James when it's talking about the angel of the Lord that it is Jesus. We go over the three reasons that Jesus came to the earth. Most Christians know that Jesus came to save us from our sins, to reverse the curse of death that Adam brought on mankind in the garden by eating the fruit and disobeying God. But Jesus actually came to the earth for three primary reasons. That being one, to reverse the curse of death. He also came to reverse the curse of the watchers. The Genesis chapter 6 angels that rebelled came to earth and fathered giants. He also came to reverse the curse of Babel, a twofold curse. First of all, God separated the nations according to language. He confounded languages, and Jesus comes to reverse that. And very quickly, he does that in the New Testament. If God separates the world into 70 different languages after the Tower of Babel, this is Deuteronomy chapter 32, Jesus, he sends out how many disciples? He sends out 70 disciples. Mm-hmm. And when they speak, everyone hears in their own language miraculously. So that's the first reversing of the curse of Babel. And then the second curse of Babel is God divorces the nations. He chooses Israel, and that is the point in history where Jews and Gentiles become separated. But he also curses the nations, divorces them, and gives their rule over to fallen angels. And that's Deuteronomy chapter 32 and a few other places in Scripture. And Jesus reverses that. It is prophesied all throughout the Old and New Testaments that Jesus will bring all kingdoms back to himself. His kingdom is the kingdom. So Jesus comes to reverse the curse of the separation of nations. Fun to study.
It is, yes. Well, friends, we're visiting with Micah Van Hus. You hear him very often here on Watchmen on the Wall. He's the director of Marginal Mysteries for Southwest Radio Ministries, and we are talking about the Beyond the Veil 2026 calendar. You can pre-order a copy at swrc.com. That's swrc.com, or give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Included in every calendar is a daily Bible reading schedule, the major U.S. holidays, and the Jewish holidays. It's a beautiful calendar, and we're talking with the designer of it this year. It's Micah Van Hus. And Micah, while we're speaking about Jesus, we'll jump from July back to April. The Princes of the Nations is the title of this image, and it depicts what appears to be Jesus on the cross, but in the spirit realm. Can you tell us about that?
Absolutely. So these are the Princes of the Nations. I just got done saying the third reason that Jesus came to the earth was to reverse the curse of Babel. So when we talk about the evil angels, the fallen angels that God placed over the nations in Deuteronomy 32:8, this is the subtitle of my new book, Angels Eternal, War of the Princes. We see in the New Testament that we war against principalities and powers, spiritual wickedness in high places, and to put on the armor of God so that we can withstand. So these powers and principalities are real spiritual beings. And in my opinion, after the Tower of Babel, they were physical fallen angels. We have a dark period in Scripture where Scripture does not record anything save one thing. That is, between the Tower of Babel and Abraham is a period of 400 years. The only thing that Scripture says about that 400 years is that in the days of Peleg, the earth was divided. Well, Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8, God divorces the nations. He chooses Israel. What does he do with the other 69 to 71 nations, around 70 nations? He hands them over to the fallen angels as rulers. And I do believe that those fallen angels came down physically and ruled that way. There is scriptural evidence for this. Again, the genesis of that is Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 8 and 9. We get into Psalm 82, which is a fascinating portion of scripture. Before you understand this, the war of the princes and what's going on, it is one of the most mysterious chapters, but it's only 8 verses long. So Psalm 82 is an interesting read. God sits among the gods, and he's judging them based on their treatment of their human subjects. He says to them, "You better start treating your human subjects better, or I will cast you to the earth like one of the princes." So who are the princes? We move over to Daniel chapter 10. We have the evil spiritual prince of Persia, and at the end of the chapter, we have the evil spiritual prince of Greece. So Daniel 10 talks about two of these princes of the nations. They are spiritual beings. We also have, two chapters later, in Daniel chapter 12, Michael, the archangel, is the prince of Israel. He is underneath Yahweh as one of the princes of Israel. When we say Jesus came to reverse the curse of Babel, he came to bring all the nations back to himself and defeat these princes. Guess what? These princes, while I believe they were physical for a few hundred years after the Tower of Babel, they eventually died and they became the spiritual entities, the princes, the powers of the air. We find these guys throughout Scripture, New and Old Testament. So Psalm 22 is a prophecy of Jesus dying on the cross. And Psalm 22:12 reads, "Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gaped upon me with their mouths, as a ravening and roaring lion. They pierced my hands and my feet. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." So here in Psalm 22, the Old Testament, about 1,000 years before Christ, we see the prophecy of Jesus being crucified. But he has bulls of Bashan circling him. Well, these bulls of Bashan are the princes of the nations. You see, the Jewish Feast of Tabernacles, they sacrificed a number of bulls every single day. And those bulls add up to 70 bulls.
Mm.
Again, we have 70 nations, 70 chief princes, fallen angels. And so these bulls of Bashan, when you read about them in scripture, some references say cows of Bashan, but it's always the cow or the bull. These represent those 70 princes. The Feast of Tabernacles, one of the reasons for it, is to celebrate the fact that God not only is the God of Israel, but one day he will bring all the other nations back to himself. That's why they sacrifice these 70 bulls as a symbol of that. We see the bulls of Bashan circling Jesus at the cross in the Old Testament. Now let's go to the New Testament and we see this again. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 7. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. These princes, these bulls of Bashan that were circling Jesus at the crucifixion, they did not know that the crucifixion and death of Jesus was the catalyst of salvation. Satan himself. So Satan was at the cross in the spiritual realm staring at Jesus. These 70 princes of the nations were at the cross staring at Jesus in the unseen realm. Satan himself did not know that crucifixion was the catalyst. It shows the wisdom of God and the ignorance of Satan. How do we know this? Because Satan took Jesus on top of the temple and he showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Again, we're talking about the kingdoms of the world that Jesus is to inherit, to bring back after the curse of Babel. And Satan says, I will give you the kingdoms of the world if you just bow to me. It was an offer for the fulfillment of Jesus becoming the God of all the kingdoms without the pain of the cross. And had Jesus capitulated and bowed to Satan, he would have become the ruler of all the kingdoms, but a false ruler. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus resisted the temptation that Satan offered. This is a fascinating topic about the princes of the nations, the principalities and powers. That's the subtitle of the new book, War of the Princes. The question I get asked the most, how did the giants come back after the flood? And this is my answer. I don't know that I'm 100% correct, but I do think that this is one of the best theories. Before the flood, we have angels in Genesis chapter 6, B'nai HaElohim, coming down, taking human women and having giant offspring with them. And Genesis chapter 6 says there were giants in the earth in those days and also afterward. We're talking about after the flood. Well, we know that we have Goliath, King Og of Bashan, after the flood. So the question I get asked the most is, how did these giants get here after the flood? If they were the result of angels and women before the flood, then it would stand to reason that they're the result of the same unholy union after the flood. Where after the flood do we have angels coming down in mass at the 70 fallen angel princes of the nations? That's my theory, that these angels were physical for a time, took human women because they're kings, they're rulers of nations, and they give rise to the post-diluvian giants.
We're visiting with Micah Van Hus talking about Beyond the Veil. It's the 2026 calendar from SWRC, and you can pre-order a copy now at swrc.com. Again, that's swrc.com. Or give us a call, 1-800-652-1144. That's 1-800-652-1144. Now, Micah, you have an image of the watchers for the September month in the calendar, and it's an image that depicts three ominous-looking robed men who are wielding some kind of strange magic. Can you describe this image to us?
Absolutely. This is the September image, and these are the watchers. We just talked about the rebellion of the watchers in Genesis chapter 6. We talked about the corruption of the human bloodline. One of the things that proves this to me, and this was the verse that set me off on studying the mysteries over 20 years ago now, is Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Noah is perfect in his generations. What does that mean? Noah was chosen to survive the flood because his bloodline, he was righteous, but his bloodline had not been tainted with that of the Nephilim, the giants, as a result of angels and women, only five verses before that. So these are the watchers that came and corrupted God's creation. The watchers also, according to non-canonical texts, they taught forbidden knowledge, knowledge such as weapon making, armor making, astronomy, astrology, alchemy, herbalism, abortion, writing, makeup, all kinds of different knowledge that mankind did not possess. And because of this, according to some of the non-canonical writings, these angels were cast into the abyss. That is fulfilled in the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. Jesus Christ dies on the cross. His body is dead in the grave for 3 days, but his spirit is on the earth. And 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 19, his spirit goes down into Sheol. In verse 20, he proclaims his victory over these spirits that made trouble in the days of Noah. So a fascinating thing. We don't have time, but we get into the underworld, the three different sections of hell. This is not different levels of punishment. This is three different locations: Sheol, Tartarus, Sheol being where unrepentant and repentant humans went before Christ. And then we have Tartarus, where the fallen angels are cast. And then we have Gehenna, the lake of fire, which is empty currently on the earthly timeline. But after the day of judgment, this is where unrepentant humans and the angels and Satan will be cast in the lake of fire. So we do discuss the underworld. The English language kind of combines all these three into one word of hell, but it really in the Greek and Hebrew, it's three different distinct locations. So we get into demons. Jesus came to reverse the curse of Mount Hermon. He is the first to cast out demons. I'll open up another can that we won't be able to talk about.
Yeah.
The demons are the spirits of the Nephilim. Half angel, half human. They're spirits. There is no place for them in heaven, no place for them in the redemption. So they are destined to roam the earth, causing trouble among mankind. And so these demons are roaming the earth. And demons and fallen angels are not the same entity. They are separate entities. Acts 23:8 tells us as much. So Jesus comes to earth and he casts out these demons as a reverse of the curse of Mount Hermon. The other interesting thing about Jesus reversing the curse, I will try to get it in 15 seconds, is on this rock I will build my church. That is a schism in Christianity. Catholics say that Jesus is talking about Peter, who they consider the first pope. So the Catholics believe that Jesus says, on this rock I will build my church, which is the papacy, the pope. Protestants claim, which I'm a Protestant, that the message that Peter told Jesus, that thou art the Christ, this is the rock on which I will build my church. Now, I agree with that, but Jesus is actually literally pointing to Mount Hermon because he's standing in the Grotto of Pan at the gates of hell, and he's pointing to the rock, and he's saying, on this rock I will build my church. And that is the same mountain where these watchers descended in Genesis chapter 6. We don't have time to get in the rest of it, but that's fascinating stuff.
And for the friends who want to find out more information, friends, it's included in Micah's brand new book, Angels Eternal. That's also available at swrc.com, swrc.com. And let's wrap up today with discussing one more image and going to the end of 2026 to December, another image of Jesus, and it depicts him riding a white horse and holding a sword. Can you describe that for us?
Absolutely. We serve a glorious Savior. He is the Prince of Princes. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He single-handedly defeated these princes of the powers of the air. And I think it's 1 Thessalonians or Colossians. I think it's 1 Thessalonians. He has spoiled principalities and powers. So not only did he on the cross save us from our sins, he also defeated these princes of the nations and reversed the curse of the watchers. We study the weird stuff, as you've listened to today. But I do believe that if God chose to include a topic in his word, that it is worthy of your study should you choose to do so or should he call you to do so. I believe he has called me to study the weird stuff. But we do it from a solid biblical foundation. Studying the mysteries of the Bible is secondary to who Jesus Christ is. It's all for naught. You can study all the weird stuff all day long, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then it's all for naught. My hope is that every human on this earth will come to the understanding that Jesus Christ is not only the central point of history, our years are actually pointing directly to him from BC to AD, go all the way to zero where Christ is. Not only does history point to Jesus Christ, but Scripture does too. Scripture talks about the giants. Scripture talks about the angels. Scripture talks about the dinosaurs. Scripture talks about the weird stuff, but it all points to Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who sacrificed himself so that we don't have to go to the lake of fire. The December image is Jesus' return riding on the white horse. That image in Scripture is more terrifying than we like to say. Jesus' eyes are on fire.
Yes.
His robe is soaked in blood, and he's carrying a sword. It is a awesome image that I have fun making.
Well, friends, we've been visiting with Micah Van Hus, and join us again tomorrow as we unfold some more of this 2026 calendar. It's titled Beyond the Veil. going from before creation into the future as we look at history and prophecy all unfolding in this beautiful 2026 calendar. And as we have said, every calendar that you purchase helps us to send two calendars to inmates free of charge, and we are already getting dozens of requests even before we've made an official offer to our inmate friends to request this 2026 calendar. They're writing in because they love our annual calendar and they're wanting to get in line to make sure they get a copy. Every calendar you purchase from our ministry equips us and enables us to send two calendars free of charge to an inmate. And inside of every single calendar is the message of hope that Micah was just ending with, that good news of the gospel for every single person. We have had inmates write to us saying that they found a calendar, they read that message, and that showed them their need for Jesus. They called upon Him as Savior, and we give glory to God for allowing us to produce this gospel tool. Micah, I look forward to talking with you again on tomorrow's program as we unpack more details about this wonderful calendar.
I look forward to it, Josh.
Step into the mysteries of God's eternal plan with the Beyond the Veil 2026 calendar. From Genesis to Revelation, Scripture unveils a world where angels, cosmic powers, and even fearsome creatures reveal the sovereignty of God. Each month features a powerful passage and devotional reflection to lift your eyes beyond the ordinary and remind you of the unseen hand of God at work. From the fiery cry of the seraphim to the rider on the white horse, Beyond the Veil captures the awe and wonder of heaven's realities while pointing to the triumph of Jesus Christ. As you journey through 2026, be encouraged that history is not adrift, your life is not forgotten, and the King of Kings is coming soon. Created by Marginal Mysteries host Micah Van Hus, the Beyond the Veil 2026 calendar includes stunning imagery, a guide for reading through the Bible in a year, the major Jewish holidays, and Get One, Give Two. In other words, each calendar ordered provides two free calendars for the incarcerated individuals through our Onesimus Prison Ministry. This calendar, with its one-of-a-kind images, is perfect for daily encouragement, Bible study inspiration, or as a meaningful gift. Order your Beyond the Veil calendar today when you call 800-652-1144. That's 800-652-1144. You can also order on our website, swrc.com. This year's calendar is truly one that you do not want to miss out on. 1-800-652-1144. Order your copy of the Beyond the Veil calendar today. Watchmen on the Wall is a production of Southwest Radio Ministries and is supported by faithful friends like you. To learn more, visit our website, swrc.com.